Welcome to the Ages of Rock podcast with your hosts, Bill Algy, Dennis Talbot, and Alan Tate. We are three guys who have one thing in common, a love of rock and roll. Our goal is to talk about all things rock. We hope you find this show intriguing, funny, and occasionally highly opinionated. Enjoy.
All right. Welcome to the Ages of Rock podcast. This is episode number 231. Let's see. There's only two of us.
And a lurker
in the back, which is Rod, which is Dennis's buddy. Yeah. And this is probably going to be a shit show. So
Alan is having a shit show.
Something like that.
Yeah. He's getting ready for
something. Yeah, he's prepping.
Yeah, prepping.
That's what he's doing. He's prepping. So anyway, on tonight's episode, we have the band called The Great Affairs. They're out of Nashville, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. We have Denny Smith, who's lead singer and writes most of the music, and Kenny Wright, who's the drummer. And they're going to be on to talk about their new record. And you're going to ask me what the new record's name is. And for the life of me, it's called Everybody Moves, Nobody Gets Hurt.
Yes.
And this is a great record.
And hopefully we'll be seeing these guys live in October.
That'd be great. And yeah.
They're coming to Evansville. Hopefully it'll continue to stay scheduled. It's at the Boken Lounge. And I'm going to be really interested to see these guys live.
Yeah, that'd be good for sure.
I've really been listening to it a lot and enjoying it. And good bunch of guys, too. It was a real fun interview. You're going to like it.
Yep. So music news. I was trolling around and just typed in music news. So I came up with this website called consequenceofsound.net, which I don't know what it is, but it has some decent music news on it. So I thought I'd share it.
Cool. I have none.
Yeah. It's kind of slow right now, right? Dee Snider slams moronic anti-maskers who shouted Twisted Sisters, "We're not going to take it." Hmm. So apparently he's all for masking. Hmm. So he's a little pissed off. So I thought that was kind of interesting that, yeah, they're shouting, "We're not going to take it." I wonder, they look fairly young, so I wonder if they even know who Dee Snider is.
Probably have no clue.
Probably not. It's a good chance. And the other thing was just a couple things on here I thought were pretty interesting. Mm. The other one is Kanye West urinates on Grammy Award during his latest tweet storm, which I don't know about
mind.
You.
I don't mind. It doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah, I don't know how the hell he got a Grammy to start with. So.
Right.
But he's going to get in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You know that.
Oh, probably. Hopefully he's on it too.
Maybe we can get Ozzy to come on back over.
You know, Kanye kind of makes me proud when he starts peeing on stuff that I don't like, you know.
Yeah, there you go.
He's good for something.
Yeah, exactly. And other than that, this is pretty much just, there's not a whole lot of stuff on here.
Yeah, they're just making
I don't know. Oh, well, another topic here is Marilyn Manson on Ozzy Osbourne. He had this strange mystique that he never really escaped from.
I've still not watched that Ozzy.
Well, isn't that like the pot calling the kettle black?
Yeah, no kidding. No, he's a Fruit Loop.
He's a bird. Okay, whatever, man.
Post-toasty.
Crazy ass. There you go. Do some more drugs. See how.
And I'm not talking about Ozzy. I'm not talking about Ozzy.
No. We're not talking about Ozzy. We're not. That's for sure. So, let's see. You've got like a stack of vinyl, right?
No, I only got four. I got three in the mail today and one yesterday.
So. I only got one. So we're gonna get this over with, and Alan doesn't have to suffer through this. He's
exactly
suffering his own way. So, we will.
That poop head.
All
right. So anyway, I got an Amazon gift card the other day. So I went batshit nuts.
Crazy! You bought three things.
I bought four things.
Okay.
So I finally got a copy of. And sorry, the plastic's kind of
cool. Like
Rush Moving Pictures. This is the 200 gram. It's 180 gram, but it's supposed to be
like, wow, what happened? They get that 20 extra gram.
Rush has been doing that, but anyway, I've never had this on an album, so.
That's actually one of the few Rush records I actually have.
Yeah, I like
it. I only have two. That's one of them.
And then I got AC/DC's Hotter Than Hell, My Way to Hell. And I've been wanting that for a long time. So got that one. And I got a rebought on 180 gram Queen Jazz.
Oh,
I've got a copy of that original copy, but I just, you know.
How much did you pay for that? Because the original copies are going for like 20, 25 bucks or something like that.
Yeah, brand new, 20 bucks. I paid right at 20 bucks for each one of these albums through Amazon. I think one was 18. I don't remember. And then I got the 30th anniversary vinyl edition, 180 gram of Diary of a Madman.
Oh,
I've been wanting that one too. So
cool.
So got some good classic albums. This one here says it's premium vinyl pressing HQ180 record technology.
So I don't know. No idea what that is.
It's probably going to sound really good. What'd you get?
It's probably going to sound really good. I bought, I watch some vinyl auctions usually, like tonight. I'm at 8 o'clock tonight, which is in 50 minutes. I'll be sitting my butt down and watching Gary Brufack and his wife sell records, because it's just fun to watch. Anyway, I picked this up from him a couple weeks ago. It's called Sonic Bullets, something I've never seen before. A compilation record. And it came, and it's interesting because the brand is Realistic, which is the Radio Shack brand. It says high definition, half speed mastered, which I thought was pretty interesting. But it's got Any Way You Want It by Journey, Boogie Wonderland by Earth, Wind & Fire, More Than a Feeling. Toto's 99, Dream Police by Cheap Trick, Two Tickets to Paradise. It's got some really good stuff on it. I listened to it earlier tonight. It does sound really good. So I don't know if it's in really good shape. So that's
Radio Shack used to have a lot of those test pressings, they were called, and they were
And inside here it's got something that talks about that, but I haven't really read it.
You can actually set your stereo up and they had records just for that. You
know, that's right. I remember that. That's right.
Here's your low, here's your high, it should be this, should be that.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of bullshit.
Yeah. But the interesting thing about it was
What year was that put out?
You know, I don't know, because the music on it is from all over the place. So
see, Radio Shack does Radio Shack even exist anymore?
I don't think it exists anymore. This must have come out in 81 because it says 81, but the other copyrights on it are 72, 76, 77, 79, 80, 81. So it's been out for a little while.
Okay.
Yep. Anyway, it's pretty cool. But the interesting thing is Gary shipped this, and it was shipped between two records.
Right.
And then wrapped in cardboard and then inside of a box.
The two bonus records you got? Anything decent?
I don't think so. Love Junkie Records, The Music Is the Drug. D Love presents Wet the Prayer. The Epic One side. This side is Epic Story of Love Mix. And then I'm glad you asked me this because this is funny shit. That side is Original Soaked Mix and Beat Appella.
Right.
And then that's I
got to bring something up to you real quick, and then I'll be done. We can get on with the interview. This week I saw a thing on Facebook. It was really funny. I love Gilbert Godfrey.
And Gilbert Godfrey
is reading the lyrics to Cardi B's WAP.
Oh God.
And it's the funniest thing I've ever heard. Now I've never heard the song. Never knew of it. I went to YouTube that day at lunch and I started watching the explicit video. It's the biggest piece of garbage I've ever, and it's a nasty piece of garbage.
Oh, I mean, she's nasty.
It's nasty, man. Where, you know, the PMRC got fucking batshit nuts over just, you know, like a curse word here and a curse word there. They would lose their minds now if they were doing that. She's a woman. It's
ridiculous. It's just trash, man.
But if you get a chance, watch the Gilbert Godfrey thing. It's hilarious.
You have nothing else for some fun, right?
Exactly. So anyway, yeah. Cardi B is not on my playlist.
me neither, man. All right, let's give Denny and Kenny, they rhyme. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
A listen.
Go.
Check it out.
Hey, folks, we have got Kenny Wright and Denny Smith from The Great Affairs. How you fellas doing?
How you doing, man?
Good.
What do you know? I got your names right on the first try.
You did. It's impressive.
That is a true miracle. You guys have no idea.
Actually, you said it once before we started recording.
I said it twice correctly and once incorrectly on purpose so that I
would.
Right.
Gotcha. All right.
On point.
So anyway, Denny.
Yes.
Tell us about your band, where you're from, and all of that good stuff.
Well, currently we're in Nashville, Tennessee. He's the only true Nashville native. Patrick and I, our guitar player, we're both Central Illinois guys that been down here for about 20 years, 20 some odd years now. And then our bass player, Matt, he's from Paducah, Kentucky. He's been here for a good long while too. So, we operate out of Nashville. That's our home base.
I was just there. You guys didn't invite me over for a drink or anything. I mean, literally got home. I was there Saturday and Sunday. You didn't.
You don't know where you've been.
So when you say Central Illinois, where are you talking about there?
Peoria area.
Okay.
I've actually got a record shop in Pekin, Illinois that I've had for 23 years.
Wow. We can talk about that too.
Yeah. This is our new best friends.
Apparently.
Yep. One of my best friends, Rodney, who I played in a band with, he's from Benton, Illinois, which is
Southern Illinois. Great grandmother, their whole family's from Benton, Illinois.
Okay,
so we play in Marion.
Okay,
pretty often, which is like right almost butts up against that. So
awesome.
Cool. So I actually have a 78 Chevy van that broke down in front of the prison.
I know.
And we had to put it along to her and grandma's house. This is like a 1990. Five and leave it there for the junker to come all the way. I was like,
That sorry, sounds like a song.
It should have been.
Broken down Chevy van in front of a prison.
You know? Sounds like a song.
I just know we were driving by that prison on the shoulder.
Yeah.
Smoke rolling out of this thing. And I thought, this is the lamest. It's an escape effort of some kind.
Yeah, because isn't Noriega was there for a while? They had some. They had some high profile people in that.
I mean, it's clearly. I mean, it's got the.
It's a max. Yeah. It's a max. Yeah.
Wow.
Exactly. Cool.
Well, so Kenny, have you lived in a van and down by the river there in Nashville or anything exciting?
Thankfully, I've been gainfully employed most of my life, and I have.
There you go.
And I'm a pretty responsible guy.
Wow! Cool. Welcome to the Not Responsible Club.
I've lived in many a van, but just as it traveled down the road, not parked in front of a prison or anything.
Awesome. That's cool. I like your shirt, man. That's looks like an Ed shirt from our buddy. Nope, it's not a Click T-shirt.
No.
Oh, wow.
I already asked that before you got on.
Mother's.
Cool. Anyway.
You guys have a new album you're getting ready to put out. You want to talk a little bit about it?
Yeah, definitely.
The Great Affairs.
There's some visual aids for you. Everybody Moves, Nobody Gets Hurt. Comes out October 2nd. We've been spent the better part of the last year and some change working on it. We put out three of the songs like as an EP thing middle of last year. And then we had a couple little hiccups came along. I ended up having to have surgery on my vocal cords. So we had to take a few months off. And then as soon as we got the all clear to get back to the gigs and finish working on this thing, this other thing happened. So we just took that time to finish up the rest of the record. You know, we kind of hemmed and hawed about maybe not put it out until this stuff had kind of settled down, but we'd already told people it was coming, so here it is. We got a few more weeks and it'll be upon us. So we went ahead and wrapped it up. But I think it's a solid batch of tunes, man. It kind of covers a lot of bases, more than our last record did probably. It's got a little bit of extra flavor sprinkled in there that the last one was more of a straightforward rock record. This has got some pop stuff on it and some Americana stuff. I think people will dig it. If you like, you know, Kiss and Rick Springfield slammed together with a little Cheap Trick and some Tom Petty sprinkled on there, if that makes any sense whatsoever, that's kind of some of the stuff we threw in the stew.
Well, and I hear also on the album, I hear some Tesla.
Oh, yeah.
I hear some Black Crowes in there. I hear some old, actually almost Faces, Rod Stewart type stuff. I'm sorry, go ahead.
So that's just kind of my flavor that I bring to it, man. You know, when I first started playing with these guys, Denny said, Man, I don't really, that's not in my wheelhouse. And
right.
Clearly in yours. So why don't you, why don't you bring some of your things to the band? And so that's kind of where I, when we're making records and stuff, and instead of trying to tread on the same area that, you know, Denny's obviously so great at, I just sort of bring that element to the band, and Patrick is really into that. So we kind of write some stuff together. And
so not knowing what you guys wrote, because I only got what it's on. I was listening.
Oh, you got the promo. Yeah.
So it was High on Rose, one of your songs, or one of the ones you worked on?
High on Rose, Patrick and I wrote.
High on Rose is the one I was like going, this is early Faces. This is early Rod Stewart.
Yeah.
But then it also has that little blend of the kind of the Black Crowes in there, but it does have the Faces in it. I mean, it's just,
definitely. I mean, it's that sus chord riff thing. And, Patrick was kind of hearing like a Peter Frampton type thing when he brought it to me. And I was kind of hearing more like a Doobie Brothers China Grove type thing. And I don't think we got either one of them, but it ended up sounding more like a Dressed to Kill Eric Kiss type tune with, Steve Marriott maybe singing it or something like that. So sure. I'm happy with the end result. I just don't think it was what either one of us really slingshotting for when it's all said and done. But I dig it. I mean, I think it came out real well. I can definitely agree that it does have some of those Faces elements to it.
And like I said, nothing to take away from the album, because like I said, you know, being all original tunes, I mean, it is your sound. I'm just, whenever I say it, kind of has this flavor to it. It goes across the spectrum, and which that's the thing I like about it. You go from one, from the first song to the last song, you've traveled. You're not just getting this three chord thing throughout the thing. You're getting a rock song, you're getting this, you're getting some bluesy kind of stuff, and then stuff that sounds really new, almost like I want to say an 80s new wave kind of stuff that's got some of that, the little sounds in the background. And then you got a heavy keyboard on one, then no keyboard, I like that. It keeps you on your toes, and it keeps you wondering what's going to come next.
I think rather than try to make a record that represent one sort of style, which we sort of did on 10 and 2, we try to keep that sort of compact and make a real concise record out of it. This time we started out with this thing sort of talking about maybe succumbing to that sort of online only, let's just do an EP or a single or whatever. But I think ultimately none of us really wanted to do that. And there was all kinds of disparate musical styles that we had written these songs, together and separately. And we just said, let's just make a record and throw the conventionality out the window. And let's just make each one of these songs a thing. And we'll just try to sequence them properly on the record where they make sense together as much as possible, really. And that, it always sounds like us, I think it always, you can spot Denny's voice a mile away, and it came out to me, it seemed like a complete record, regardless of the fact that it didn't, every song wasn't stylistically the same.
Yeah, it's definitely not a uniform thing. We did that last one, we, 10 and 2, it was a concerted effort to make it. We were trying to like a rock and roll over, where it was just a,
no frills type.
Minimal overdubs, and it was just a straight rock and roll record. There was, it didn't really have a ballad or anything. Well, we did have a ballad, but they had a Hard Luck Woman. So we tried to make it this easy to digest, all one thing. Not as much of it. This record's kind of like it's just a bunch of songs that we really liked.
I noticed a lot. I mean, I listened to the new record, and then went back and listened to, to 10 and 2, mm-hmm. and then listened to a little bit of the stuff earlier. And you can tell definitely 10 and 2 was, this is definitely a different, different record than 10 and 2.
Right.
And I like both of them. I think both of them are great. The good part about this podcast, we talk about this all the time, is we get introduced to all this new music we can't find anywhere, and this is cool as hell. So I literally I've a couple other people have heard this record too, by the way, just so you know. I've not shared it with anybody, but we were driving to Nashville and I was playing, and I'm like, we're interviewing these guys, you know, these guys are gonna be on our podcast on Tuesday night. You get to listen to this. So there were a few people that heard it too, so they all liked it. So, or at least the guy that was sitting up front with me that could hear it really liked it. So it's pretty cool. Anyway, I think that I liked a lot of the record had a lot of variation in it, and it wasn't like you were just listening to one long song. And I like that. Sometimes mm-hmm. people get into where it just feels like it's just one thing. And we talk about skippable songs and stuff like that. I didn't see one. I couldn't find one.
If I
found anything, dude, it was repeatable songs.
I agree.
And I'll tell you what my favorite song on the record is, and you probably won't believe that's my favorite song, but it absolutely is my favorite song. I've listened to it about 500 times in the last week. So, but we'll get to that at some point. So talking about that, and I know that you guys wrote it and stuff like that, and you played on it. Is there songs on here that you just, is there anything that particularly that when you go back and listen to it, you like, we just nailed it on that song, or that is what I was going for, or what you would say is your favorite on the album?
I mean, I'd like to think that, I mean, favorites, you know, that's sort of subjective, but I guess I would like to think that everything that we tried for, we nailed. Now, whether or not everybody else feels that way, I don't know. But even if it wasn't, you know, I just feel like we set out to make, like, we want this to be like this, and this is our objective to complete the song. I feel like each one of those tunes, we achieved that. And that, I think that's one of the things that freed us up when I just said earlier, we weren't trying to make a specific type of record, you know, we could be real free with that. So, I mean, I got my personal favorites on there, but I just feel like every tune we kind of hit the mark of what we personally wanted to hit the mark for. Now, what everybody else feels like, I can't speak for, but in my heart of hearts, I feel like we kind of hit our stride on the things that we were really trying for. So I'm pretty happy in that respect.
Yeah, that's completely fair, because it's probably unfair of me to ask that of, you know, it's your brand new record. Which one's your favorite song? All 10 of them, dumbass. That's my favorite song. So, you know,
it's our destroyer.
Which is complete.
It's our destroyer.
Now, just don't say it's our destroyer. Don't ever say that. whatever you do, don't ever say, we made destroyer for the 14th time. Just don't ever
say
that.
They would get this. That's why I'm saying it. I only said that.
It's funny that you say that, but when we did the record that, prior to 10 and 2, Dream and Stereo, we called that our destroyer. That was all this crazy stuff on it. Like, never just throw everything in. It was long. It didn't had all this,
right.
You know, and we just thought, what do we got to lose, man? I mean, we didn't know if we were going to sell 5 copies or 5,000 copies. It's just, let's just do it. We have all these songs. We got tired of trying to narrow it down, so we just threw them all on there. And
let's
it was
not say that we think it's as good as Destroyer.
No, no, but...
But
it was your destroyer.
Well, and you, as you guys know, it
will be out in 2025, but
Walmart exclusive.
We
in orange.
We just said, you know, the hell with it. We're going to do as much production. We don't care if we can make it live happen or whatever, but we're going to do it like we want to do it, and we're just going to go really heavy on the production. We did, and then the next record, we said, you know what, let's make our version of Rock and Roll Over, which is, let's not go heavy on the production. Let's make this where we can pretty much play every one of these songs live, right. And nobody would go, well, it's missing that or it's missing that. And I think this record kind of splits the difference. I mean, we're kind of doing almost half the record live, or we will be doing a bunch of this record live. So we can pull it off. So it's kind of a, right in the middle. Maybe it's our logo.
Right.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. I mean, you were talking about earlier, you when I said something about the Rose song I liked a lot, and you talked about that was one. So how many of you guys actually write? I mean, do you guys all write lyrics, or is?
No, the lyrics are just the two.
Just the two. Okay. Just okay. But then musical wise, you guys kind of all combine and take, you know.
Again, it's mostly Denny. I write. I mean, I write a lot, but I don't bring everything in, and I'm kind of spoiled because he comes in with 100 songs for every record that are all, each one of us better than the next, man, you know, and I'm not nearly as prolific as he is. And then Patrick and I write some together. So right. I just figure, man, if we can get 3 or 4 songs per record, I feel like that's a real win.
That's cool.
For me, because frankly, I mean, it's tough to compete. Every song he submits is great.
It's like, well, Denny, and one of the things too, listening to this album over, actually both albums, I was listening to 10 and 2 and plus the new one. And I was listening to both of them, and I was actually giving it, you know, instead of just that kind of that glancing listening to, I was listening to the lyrics. I'm a big Butch Walker fan, and I love his lyrics. I think you and him write a lot in the same similar as far as the way the lyrics work. I your lyrics are awesome. I really like them a lot.
I'm a massive, and thank you very much for that, because that, you know, I've been in bands where people thought that didn't matter at all, but
it makes a big difference, dude. I mean,
that's 50% of it for me, easy, if not more. And I think Butch and I have a lot of the same influences. I don't think Butch has my records in his collection, whereas I have his. So it's more likely that I have borrowed from him.
Right. Butch has wrote a lot and gave it away to a lot of people. Not give it away, but he's.
Oh yeah,
sold it to people. But I'm just saying your style is the way you write and the way your lyrics work together. You know, you're just not throwing. Some people, it seems like they just kind of throw a bunch of words together that rhyme, and you know, and throw a heavy tune behind it. Yeah, you know, I do the same thing too if I wrote one. Yeah, yeah, your log in your fireplace and you know shit like that. But no, I mean,
I just want
to. When you really sit there, but seriously though, when you sit there and you start listening to your songs and you're listening to it, that's what drawed me in a lot to the. When I was listening to you this week, I was like, going, God damn, I like the way the, you know, all the lyrics work out, and I could almost. It was really funny. The first time I heard like some of the songs, I was like going, I know what he's gonna say. You know what I'm saying? Because it was in my mind. I'm like going, I know where this song's going. It was kind of odd. And then all of a sudden, it's yep. That was good. I like that. So, yeah, like I said, I've really got into it this week. I'm going to be a cheerleader for you guys.
Thank you.
And, because I've been taking it up to my buddy's house. And every time I go up there, he goes, who is that? Is this Black Crowes? It's like, no, it's not Black Crowes. God damn it. It's the same guys I brought up last week. You're a little drunker now, you know. So,
right. That's how. That's how.
Text this way that will tag.
Right,
for sure.
But anyway, so when's the last gig you guys done?
We played COVID. A private party, socially distanced, of course.
Sure.
We do it every year in Southern Illinois, in a big field behind a fan's house. They bring in a stage, and we do a whole thing. Right. Bus set up, got the whole thing rolling, played about 8 songs, and storm came in.
Oh.
And we left Patrick and Matt to tear that down, and we got in the tent and walked around like troubadours and did it like a mariachi band, just the two of us.
How cool.
Because we wanted to get paid, man. We had a gig to play. Yeah. So, you know, we had to play for about 2.5 hours, just pulling random stuff out, you know. There's a lot of stuff we never even attempted to play before, but it ended up being fun.
Do you have any – I saw the schedule. So do you have any shows still on the schedule that you're doing, or are you done?
No, we've got 2 Indiana dates.
Yep.
For the end of the year. We had a handful of things that we just hadn't – we never posted them. We had just booked them that were kind of critical to getting this record done. They're going to subsidize the whole – back half of the recording process and getting all the pressing done and stuff, and those all evaporated, understandably. But these two were far enough out that we just kind of left them on there, and
as of right now, we're going to Evansville on the 3rd, the day after the record comes out, and playing Boca Lounge. Yeah. And then we've got one in Terre Haute. We may or may not, we don't know on that one yet. That's kind of up in the air. So if I really don't see too much else popping up between now and the end of the year, but if it does, I mean, we'll look at it. I'd love to play if it's safe, but you know, I just don't know.
We usually take the back half of the year off anyway. So I don't know that it is any different than what we generally do, but I certainly hope that we'll have a more, you know, productive 2021, and the landscape will be different than it has been this year. But I'm sure everybody hopes the same things. It's been a tough year for everybody.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well, it's just selfish.
If it turns out that I don't have a gig on the night you were at the Boca Lounge, I'll be down there. Awesome. Dennis and I live in Evansville. Dennis lives next door in Newburgh. So.
And I'm from there. And so the reason I asked the question specifically for that reason.
Well, you know, it's funny because we were just Matt does most of our booking. Our bass player is our booking agent as well, and he I had him verify the other day. Asked him to call the club and see, is this, you know, because it looked like everything was starting early, and we had this thing saying we're playing at 9 o'clock, and they're only open till midnight. I think they've changed some. I don't know what the rules are there in Evansville, but. We go on at 8 o'clock, and they, you know, bumped it up an hour, I guess. But as far as I know, other than the maybe you have to have a mask on when you're not seated thing, like they do here in town, the gig is a go. So we're gonna
keep us informed, because like I said, Alan and I will definitely be there if I'm not.
Awesome, man. Yeah.
Is it a Friday night or a Saturday night?
Saturday
night. When is it? Saturday. When?
Bill
Saturday.
Looks like he's coming down.
Sorry. I'm sorry. What day was it? I'm sorry.
Saturday October 3rd.
Yeah. October 3rd. Okay, yep. Unless I've got a Philharmonic that night, I'll go. So
that what?
I got season tickets to Philharmonic. I spread my wings. I got some.
Wow, look at you. Yeah,
don't say that shit on this show.
You're not worried about credibility.
No, there's a story behind this. I like going to the
film. No, there's no story behind that. We don't even know there.
His wife bought tickets and said, you're going.
I said, we have a new conductor in town.
Oh, my God. Quickly. Are you serious?
And they tried out 5 people. I saw 3 of the 5. I went to 3. I like going to Philharmonic, so just fuck you. So, anyway, but this one guy, Roger, he's a really young guy and really good. I mean, I like the guy a lot. I met him and everything. And I told, we're friends with the woman who is the president of the Philharmonic. And I said, if he gets in, I'll buy season tickets. And he got chosen. So I bought season tickets. So
that's fair, man.
There you go. And you know what? We're supporting.
And you know, there's nothing wrong with you.
I'm just busting your balls, man.
I love
you. I played in concert band when I was in high school.
That's, yeah.
Well, I played in band when I was in.
We go have a good dinner beforehand. We go out and we see some music, and then we drink some wine, and you know, hey, it's good.
You gonna dress up for that? Is that like
it's a totally different crowd? No. He'll dress up for that. Oh, no, you ain't wearing no jeans at the Philharmonic. Come on,
I do all the time. I wear jeans all the time.
He lives in Evansville. You can get away with that here.
To the victory. I wore for the gala the other night. I wore my new black suit, but I wear regular jeans and a nice.
You need to wear that suit again. You paid like $800 for.
It's a wedding funeral shirt. So
Alan, you probably got a question. We just been yapping the entire time.
We're getting off subject. Go ahead.
So getting back to the Great Affairs, you guys have any kind of label support, or are you self-funded and unsigned?
We did the last record through Kibble Records. 10 and 2 was released through Kibble Records. We were DIY up until that point. That was an experiment. But part of the reason we streamlined that record and made it sound the way it sounded was specifically to get find one of the indie rock labels to pick it up and do it for us, because we just never done that in the lifespan of the band. So this new one, after that experiment, did not really yield the benefits we were hoping for. We just thought we'd just go back to doing it ourselves. So yeah, this is all 100% in-house operation. We're doing everything on our own, so yeah,
just don't have Paul Stanley be the producer.
He loves that New England record, so I mean that.
Oh,
I do. Yes, thank you. I love that.
Somebody taking the piss out there over the
New England. Yeah, but it's also that's the orchestra guy that's championing your
New England record. I have five copies of that album.
Oh my God.
I love that. I love
that. You need six. I mean,
every time I see it, it's like $2. I pick up another copy.
I don't blame you. That's a great record. I mean,
actually, every time I go to a record store, they go, okay, you paid $5 for this record or $7 for this record. We're going to give you this New England record for free. You know what, sir? Take two New England records because we're tired of this shit being in the store.
All right.
Don't be a hater.
I'm just kidding you, man. I'm just busting on you. No big deal.
Actually, Rich,
I got this motherfucker next to me. He's always fucking
balls about New England. Oh, Bill's always giving me shit about New England.
I'm just always giving him the business. That's good stuff.
New England. Got to meet Hertz Karsener. When was that last? Was it last year or 2 years ago in Indianapolis?
Yeah, 2 years ago.
Mentioned up her, and it was awesome.
What was he doing down in Indianapolis?
He came down and he had a band together, and they did some New England songs. They did "Don't Ever Want to Lose You," and it was him up there singing, and with a bunch of people.
He was singing and not playing the drums. I see.
Like, yeah, he was singing, yeah. And it had who else was up there? Slaughter. Mark Slaughter was up there singing. Rich Kozak from Mr. Speed was up there singing along because he's the one that interviewed him. He's a real big, New England fan.
Yep.
Which he has a little bit of a relation to you, right? Because you were in a Kiss tribute band, right?
I was in Hotter Than Hell.
Did you play the convention?
Everywhere you can think.
No, I mean the official Nashville convention when Hotter Than Hell played that.
No. That was a Creatures era tribute band. When
it was?
You're talking about the official convention.
Yeah, the official convention.
That was well before I was in the band, but that was
okay. But that was Hotter Than Hell that played that.
Probably, yeah.
I think it was.
I don't remember. you kind of had to know the guy that ran the band. He was the Ace Frehley guy. He was a salesman supreme, man. He was like P.T. Barnum, man. And he somehow got Gene Simmons to sign off on them being the official Kiss tribute band. And they were the guys that blocked all the shots for Detroit Rock City.
Really? Interesting.
They were supposed to be in the movie, but I think ultimately egos prevailed and the guys couldn't do the movie without having themselves in it. So they didn't end up making any of the shots, but there's a shit ton of promo of Hotter Than Hell. And they did the whole Playboy. Remember when the Kiss Playboy thing? Those guys did all the makeup for the models and all that stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
But I joined right after all that was done, and I did the second leg of the Real Deal tour. And when the movie came out, I was in the band when all that happened. I did a year with those guys on the strength of that movie and stuff, but
cool.
It started getting kind of watered down, and I didn't really ever want to be in a tribute band. I just was doing it for
sure
because I'm a fan and because it paid real good, to be honest with you. But and then I played with a couple of other guys later on, like Alive 2 and stuff like that. But yeah, I did the old Kiss tribute circus there for a while, and it was fun. And
so what era was they presenting? Was it the 70? Was it the
depends on
your Love Gun?
Man, you know, whoever had the best costume. So.
It's kind of a potpourri kind of thing.
Sometimes it was like first.
Wait a minute, you're not the right guy.
Love Gun, or sometimes everybody's costume match. Sometimes it was kind of Destroyer. Rock and Roll Over. It just depends, man. How these rockets were.
That'd be kind of funny though. You'd be up on stage, you'd be like, going, "Hey, Gene, what are you doing Dynasty now or whatever?" You know, like something different.
That is exactly what I was thinking.
it's like, wait a minute, wrong costume, dude.
Yeah, it was whatever the market would bear is what we did. Man. I wore the same costume every time. So
you didn't have multiples. You just had
that. I didn't have multiples. I had one
year. Costume. That's awesome. Yeah. Wow, what good memories, though. That's cool.
It was. It was great fun. And I got to, man, I played places that I'd probably never go to. Otter Tail, Minnesota, and shit like that. I mean, I never even heard of that place, and I'd never been to it since, man. But, yeah, places like that. You know, I've been all over the world doing stuff like that. So I don't regret it a bit.
Okay, so
okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I'll say, let's get back to their record.
Yeah, no, I'm saying if so when COVID's over, what you guys' plan? Are we going to – we got
just your band. Yep.
We're going to do multiple – we're going to go
– is there a tribute band?
We're going to go 74 to 2020. We're just going to –
2020. There you go. I'm just kidding. No, anyway. I don't know. I mean, if COVID's ever over – yeah, I guess we'll evaluate what's happening, but I mean, I don't think touring is a responsible or profitable endeavor for any bands of our stature right now. I mean, that's my personal opinion, but I don't see a lot. We really have to glean the maximum amount of dollars out of our touring budget. And we can't do 50% capacity venues and stuff like that. We just can't survive like that.
No.
And I think, honestly, we definitely love playing. Don't have any intention of packing it in, as far as I know. But I think the real strength of this band is songwriting and making records. And that's what I like doing. So even though it's taken a huge bite out of our budget, I mean, I've really enjoyed being able to stop and focus on making a record without stopping every 15 minutes to go do a gig. But I do look forward to the time when we can get back out on the road and bring it to the people, as you would say. But right now, I think we're just taking it one day at a time. So that's my take on it.
Yeah, it was really strange being in Nashville last weekend. And first, I mean, we go there, we've been there quite often, but it was weird because the bars all closed at 10:30.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were on Broadway at 6 o'clock. We figured it would be okay to be there about 6 o'clock. And at 6 o'clock, there were lines, people were waiting an hour to get into a bar. And I'm like, okay, this is not what I didn't expect that.
It seems like it'd be almost more dangerous to do it that way, to let people be packed in waiting to get into these places. It would be just let them in and get a seat, you know?
Yeah, but they were not. I mean, they weren't. I mean, nobody was socially distancing when you're standing in line. It was just a line of people. So, you could still hear bands outside, and they had full bands, which I thought was pretty impressive because I wasn't sure exactly what I was going to hear at all. But that was kind of a bit of a letdown, but it wasn't, you know, I wasn't sure exactly what to expect. I thought 5 o'clock we'd be there early enough, or 6 o'clock to at least get in, listen to a little bit of music, have some dinner and whatever. I really didn't expect it to be
21st century downtown Nashville, man. It's that went out the window a couple of years ago. It seems.
Yeah. Like. Cause I was down when I've been down there before, you know, usually at that time, it's not as busy, and you may have to wait a little bit, but it wasn't, but yeah, it was crazy. And I didn't think about the,
you got to go down there on Monday afternoon at like 1:30 or 2 o'clock or something if you want to have any kind of, you know, peaceful listening experience.
Yeah, when we rolled out of the hotel at Sunday morning at 11 and, you know, drove past Broadway or whatever, you could have gone in then and there were bars playing. And, I mean, obviously, you know that, but yeah, that we weren't doing that then. So we ended up,
you know, and it's limited to just that downtown area. None of the clubs are actually open.
Yeah.
Jen's not doing shows. I mean, they're doing virtual, you know, live broadcast stuff from the venues, but there's no bands. I mean, nobody's on the road, obviously. So it's all
right. People
that are coming in just for that or their local, you know, nationals that happen to live in the Nashville area. But yeah, I mean, it's great that those honky tonks are able to fire up and make money because we, you know, the city needs the tourism dollars and stuff. But I'm really worried about some of these venues that, you know, they've got, I mean, other than selling t-shirts and doing live streams, and they've got nothing coming in other than there's an aid package, I guess, now that's happening. The
government is going to bail them out to a certain degree, but how long stretch that, you know?
Yeah, actually, we're going to be talking to one of the guys that's helping do that here coming up, too. Is it We Make Music? We Make, and something know. Like that is the thing he's working on.
Is it a Nashville-based thing, or is it just
a... No, it's a national-based thing. It's called We Make Events. It's the producers and those guys.
All the Facebook things for it.
I know one of the guys that's started that project is really pushing forward. So we're talking to him actually pretty tomorrow. Awesome. It'll be coming up on that show. But that was really you know, you really don't think about that stuff. I don't think anybody's really thought much about what all else is affected. You know, you talk about industry and that kind of stuff, but it's the entertainment industry is just gutted.
It's all the little people. It's all the little, it's everybody for every venue that you go to. Everybody who works from cleaning the bathrooms to serving hot dogs to selling beers to taking tickets at the door, every one of those people were, you know, let's say my friend of mine, you know, Rodney, you know, he was getting into setting up. So he got into the union, and whenever a band comes into town, he would go to the stadium. They would call him up, say, hey, we need X amount of people to come. And he was getting to the point where he's getting called every time, helping set up the stage. He got into lighting, got on the stuff. You know, he was expecting this to be for this year, you know, he had a bunch lined up, and, you know, it's zip.
Well, zip. Our bass player does some of that stuff for Crew One.
Right, and it's good money. I mean,
I've got my old bass player, Brian, he's a stage manager for Styx. He was in the air on the way to a gig that got actually a weekend full of gigs that got canceled and had to be rerouted back to Florida, to his home in Florida. We have lots of friends that are in, you know, work for, you know, I mean, we have friends that work for Kiss that,
well, Tyson Leslie, you know him, don't you? I mean, I'm being in Nashville, Tyson Leslie.
Yeah. Keyboard player.
Okay. So he went to Texas or something like that, got all the way out there, and then shit got canceled. So he just played some local gigs and then tried to get his ass back to Nashville. And it was a pain in the ass right there, that COVID situation. There was a lot of people that, you know, got caught into that. And,
It's tough on everybody, for sure.
Yeah.
So you mentioned
the industry will weather this.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
You mentioned earlier about the bands locally playing live stream gigs or anything. Have you guys done any live stream shows, or are you planning to do any?
I did a thing on my solo page, a website out of the UK that has written about us a couple times. They reached out and said, hey, would you mind doing, I want to do a series of artists, you know, doing a couple songs thing. And I'm always real leery about that. I could barely operate the technology to get this thing going today. So I didn't want to do it and have it sound like a bucket of ass. So I told the guy, let me mess around with it and see if I need to actually put a mic up. And so I did, I experimented with it. I did one for him, and then people dug it. So I just kept doing one every day. And I went back through like everything I've ever written and pulled out. I tried to pull out stuff that we don't do necessarily. And then I let people ask for whatever. And it ended up being educational, because I don't even remember writing some of those songs, and I had to go back and learn them. And so I did like, I don't know, 50 of those over the course of a couple months, and tried to put, you know, I thought I'd do like 4 or 5 in a day and space them out. But as a band, if we'd had the correct venue to do it in, where we could have had a really good controlled audio video situation, maybe would have gone for, but we didn't even play together or anything.
See each other for quite some time.
Yeah.
Everybody at one time. So.
Well, you guys are all a bunch of germy bastards.
So. Well, it wasn't. Well, I'll tell you what, our bass player absconded to Georgia to hang out with his family.
He's going to Georgia bringing that shit back. Yeah.
Yeah, he goes to the hotbed and hangs out down there for a while in case it was the end of the world. But we had, and also, man, we had right before this whole thing happened, a tornado came through.
Yeah.
Our guitarist, Patrick, his house got hit.
Wow.
So he was dealing with all that. It just wasn't. Nothing aligned. So it was that we just didn't work together for, I mean, we worked
2020 has just been fantastic, right?
Well, you know what? I'll tell you what, I didn't, the first few weeks, I was like, this is nice, man. Because I had been recovered from the surgery thing anyway, so I was fine with resting. I was trying not to have to sing for 3 hours, you know, a night. Right. And so it was fine by me. until it wasn't fine. And I started getting bored and we're like, man, we need to, you know, and then we're going to the studio trying to knock this stuff out and realizing that our, you know, we, our chops have atrophied because we have not been playing together. So yeah, it'll be good to get, just even getting in the room and playing.
So those tracks that you were talking about, you're playing on that UK deal, are those available for anybody to watch, or are they?
Yeah, if you go on my, it's, I guess they're still up on my Facebook page. It's just Denny Smith Facebook/.
Okay. No, I'd like to listen to them. I would love
it's
to.
Just
listen
a bunch
to
of stuff. I mean, there's stuff from previous bands, and I don't.
Yeah, that's fine.
I might have done a couple cover tunes or something. They're rough around the edges, man. It's just me into an iPhone, so.
You know, we are jonesing for live type music, so it doesn't matter. Right now, it's like I'll take Kermit the Frog singing something. I don't care.
You get a nice tour of my house. I try to do it from a different angle every time, so you can get a feel from my.
Actually, what's funny is Kevin Cronin's been doing his little Cronin's camp Cronin. Yeah. Have you seen that?
No,
and it's great. I mean, he's like every day. I guess he's getting ready to write a book, so he's writing. Every day he talks about a song or two that they did for REO, and then he plays it on acoustic. And, you know, sometimes they're good, sometimes they're not. He hits it sometimes. But it's all in fun and jest. And yeah. But just the stories and just doing that. And he's in part of his house here and part of his house here, and he has his daughter over one day. That kind of shit. I mean, 2020, if anything, has brought stuff like that out. And it's kind of been interesting to see people – out of their element. You know, these are stars that are just
definitely that too, man, because that's so. You know, you can't hide behind anything, man. There's doesn't you know, and so you can put it whatever filter you want on the picture, but
warts it all year.
Yeah.
And these people that have actually done this and with the bad haircuts and the, and you know, sitting around their pajamas and stuff like that, I think people really like that. And I do personally. I like to see that part of people. So
no, right. Plus it's some of these bands, I mean a lot of these, and I'm not gonna point any fingers, but that, you know, some of these dudes that are so used to relying on backing tracks and stuff that, you know, now you've got.
Dennis uses backing tracks in his band.
No,
you've heard him sing before.
I know that there's somebody who's, I'm going to point to a shirt, but I'm not going to point to mine. No,
yeah, your vintage shirt is backing tracks.
Yeah. I have it.
Well, anyhow.
Let's jump back to your album.
Yeah.
Yes.
What formats are you guys going to release that album on? Like, are you doing any vinyl or anything?
Well, we did. No. Well, that may still happen. I don't know. We talked about it, but man, I'll be honest, we were nervous about even being able to sell enough CDs to break even on this without doing, we're so used to going out and selling it on the road, you know? And we didn't take a bath on the last record, but the last record we funded it. So, and we shopped it after we did the thing. And so where normally we would make all our money back on our initial sales, we gave it to another record label and took a greatly diminished split because that's how that works, obviously.
Yeah.
And it was the first record that I think, I don't know that we actually recouped our budget. So going into this one, it's like, man, we got to be real careful. We don't, and we do, plus we, I mean, we do, we're very, I won't say frugal because we don't cut corners, but we did a lot of this at home and tried to keep the budget as low as we could because we knew we may not play for the next year. This may come out and it may only sell for the first month, and then, but we're used to stretching them out, taking them out for 2 years and traveling around with it and getting it into the right ears, and we may not have that opportunity this time. So we did just CDs, but we did do, there are two more tracks on the disc than there are on the version that you guys got from the, so we did put a couple bonus tracks on, and if we can do vinyl, I'd like to, because we throw that around for, and I'm a vinyl guy myself, he is. It's just, it's one, it's cost prohibitive when you're ordering small quantities and stuff, and two, everything is delayed right now. Production on vinyl is an issue as well, so, you know.
Yeah.
I think we're just going to have to see what the future looks like before we start getting too crazy with it. I mean, ultimately, we really need to play to get this thing out to more than just our fan base. That's been how we've sort of, you know, obviously created our fan base to start with, but it's really tough to not be able to know, well, we got these amount of gigs and these amount of places that a lot of these people don't want to buy things online. They want to come to your gigs and get turned on and that's how you sell t-shirts, that's how you sell records and all that stuff. And so I don't think we're going to go too much crazy other than just the initial pressing of this thing until we see where we're at in that respect going forward.
That makes sense. I mean, it's a different time for sure.
Well, we tried to sweeten the pot a little bit. We did a comic book that goes with it, there you go. And try to make it like a unique package compared to the last record. Not just, you know, just get a guitar pick with it or whatever. Right? We actually do it's got a real legit comic that he put together. So,
oh, cool.
You know, we tried to kick it up a little bit in the merchandising department, but the same thing, man, you know, you're used to, you know, we're not like, obviously it's not like a big touring band that pressed up thousands of shirts for their 2020 tour or anything. We were already off and working towards this thing. So we don't have a bunch of merch that we're going to be stuck with, but I had a solo record that came out at the end of 2019, and I have a whole bunch of merch that says 2020 on it. And I played one show, you know, so I can only imagine what some of these bands that are doing these fire sales on their merch inventory. We were just trying to be careful.
You know what though? And being kind of frugal, and this would be kind of funny because I think it would be funny if you could just put a slash through the zero and put a one because of how 2020's been so fucked up. I mean, honestly, I think if you could just spray paint like that kind of deal on there, people would fucking buy those things left and right. Because, well, you know, it was going to be 2020, but
no. I want to go trademark that because I'm sure somebody's
thought. I'm telling you. If Gene Simmons is listening, he's like going, ooh, that's a good
idea. Exactly. Well, they were doing, I don't know if you saw it, but I saw, they're doing all those repress shirts of all the.
Oh, they're selling all their stuff that they had.
Where we would have, yeah. Well, they changed it. Yeah. They changed it to the, what would have been the end of the road or whatever. I saw a shirt like that with all the dates on there. The shows that didn't happen in 2020 or something is the title of the show.
Could have been here.
Yeah. You know? So back to the record. Alan, what's your favorite song on the record?
Very first track, I'm All Right.
Yeah.
Alan or Dennis, what about you?
It's between that and the Rose song. I like both those songs, but that first song got me. I mean, it hooked me right off the bat, and I like that. And that's Bill's trademark right there.
Yeah, yeah, right after I reached out to you, Denny.
Yeah.
And you sent me the press kit. Yeah. I listened to the first song, and I immediately sent the link to Dennis and Bill. Dennis was listening to it at work.
And I actually got through about half that first song, and I said, get these motherfuckers on. I said, I like this. I really do. I mean, seriously. I
have never seen Dennis so excited about an independent artist that we've had on the show.
And then I went back and I said, listen to that first. And I was like, oh my God. And I love, you know, it's just, you know, I'm seriously, I've been real happy with you guys. It's just so good. And like we said, rock is not dead. You just got to find them. You got to find it. And radio's not playing this shit. No. You know,
that's why rock is dead, because radio's not playing. There's plenty of bands like us that are making.
Oh, yeah, there's a million bands like you guys, but nobody knows.
You know, it's not force fed to you with an eyedropper in the shape of, you know, gold, and you're not going to find it. But I mean,
so before we get out of here,
out there, you just got to want it.
I think Bill's got a question.
Yeah.
No, I just wanted to say what my favorite song was since.
Yeah.
I asked you the question, didn't get a chance. Actually, my favorite song on the record is In the Wreckage.
I like that song too. I like that song a lot.
I have listened to that song probably more. It just, so I don't know. So I said, who wrote that song?
That's mine. That's a weird tune, man, because that was not really supposed to be a Great Affairs song. We were working on the last record, and I cut the acoustic track and a scratch vocal. I was in there doing guitars for something else. That's our engineer playing all the slide on it. Michael, that our co-producer, he played the slide and the baritone guitar. And we had to, I did it. And then the lyrics I had, they weren't really 100% realized. So it kind of just sat on the shelf. We put 10 and 2 out. It didn't go on there, obviously. And then when we came in to do this one, we were working on this. And I said, man, can I go in there and take another swing at that vocal while I'm here, and did it in the middle of a whole other session. And I talked Michael into playing some slide on it. I thought I was going to put it on my solo record. And then since Kenny was there, I said, man, he did some percussion, and we didn't have a cymbal. We needed a cymbal. And there was actually an autographed cymbal hanging on the wall in the studio from my old band, Former. Billy Baker, that builds Eric Singer's drum kits now. His cymbal was hanging on the wall, cracked. So he cracked it during a session while we were there one time and signed it. We pulled it down off the wall just for the little cymbal overdubs, just to get those in there. And Michael did a quick mix of it, and that's the mix that's on the record. It was like kind of almost an afterthought, and he talked me into using it as a Great Affairs thing.
I mean, I just felt like it was so good. I didn't want to let it get relegated to a release somewhere later on. We were talking about doing that EP at the time, and I thought it was a perfect addition to that. And it's a great song, and it sounds great. I mean, everything, I love everything about that. And I honestly almost had barely anything to do with it, man. But it's just I think it's a great recording, great mix, great performance. And
the lyrics are great.
It's good. It is a good song.
Yeah. It's just a great song. I mean, I listened to that song probably more than anything. That and Libya. I like the single that's coming, that's out. So,
and then another thing too, if you listen to the album, there's all, and being a musician too, and doing some recording, very few recording, nothing professional, but there's sounds in that thing, and I'm trying to figure out what they are. I'm like going, that's sound. It's like, what is that?
Yeah, I like
it's like, that. and that's kind of cool. I like that. I mean, it's it makes you think.
It's keyboards, and it's not keyboards. It's guitar.
Right. It is. I mean, there's some things that I'm like going, what the fuck is that?
Well, that's one of the joys of the home recording that I've discovered the last few years. That's, man, cool. There's nobody around, and I don't have a clock ticking, and I can sit and twiddle knobs all friggin' day long, and no one's going to say shit about it. It ain't going to cost me any extra money. You know, it might kill my computer, but, you know, I'll just sit and, you know, crank on that stuff until the neighbors tell me to knock the shit off. But
it doesn't cost you anything, but you can get gold out of it.
Yeah,
I mean, seriously, you can, because I mean, there's some things in there. I was listening to that going, and I would back it up. I'm like, what the fuck is that? And I'm like, okay, I think I know. You know, it's like, but but the thing is, it makes me think, and it makes me. That's why I'm drawn into it. I'm
that's the stuff really like. We'll lean into the mix and try to figure out what the hell it is they're hearing. That's sometimes that ear
not actually puts it over the top, man. You know.
Yeah, no, I love it. I love it. You got a fan. And when you come to Evansville, I'm going to be there, dude. I'm going to meet you guys. Awesome. It's going to be awesome.
Cool.
Well, before we get out of here.
Philharmonic does not get to play that.
Say that again.
I said I'm going to make sure the Philharmonic does not get to play that night. I'm going
to go. Yeah. Well, Dennis sitting there. We're coming anyway.
You know what? If you guys show up, I'm just going to have to get – I'll probably get sick, and then I'll
– You do have to wear a suit and tie at our gigs, though.
Right? The Boken and the Philharmonic place is not that far apart. I can make it there in about 5 minutes.
We're playing a whole long night that night. We're doing a whole evening with
– Yeah, I'll be done by 9. I'll be good.
So. Oh, yeah. We'll still be playing.
All right. Well, tell the listeners again about the title of the album, when it's coming out, and how they can find you guys on the internet.
Everybody Moves, Nobody Gets Hurt comes out October 2nd. You can pre-order it now on our website, thegreataffairs.com. It's right there on the main page. It's on the store link as well. If you want to click on the store page, there's all kinds of other stuff over there. But you want to get the version with the comic, of course, the deluxe Gene Simmons endorsed version. But you can pre-save it on all the other streaming, Spotify and all the Apple Music, all that crap, where we, you know, so we can get some pennies on the dollar there. Or you can buy this, the physical version, directly from us.
Be a real man. Buy the CD.
Yeah, and then maybe once we've reeled you in and charged you for all this stuff, then maybe we'll press that vinyl and get you a second time.
I'm going to get you that. I'm going to get that one, too.
Two extra pages of the comic.
And then you can put it out in that purple, that Paul purple.
You need to put it out in the marble, like the original Kiss record was redone in the marble thing.
The marble.
It's completely white with one streak of black.
Bill got the cheap marble.
Whatever, man.
Yeah. All right, guys.
Nobody ends up with that piece.
We appreciate you guys coming on the show. Hang out for a second. I'm going to take us out of here.
Thanks,
Y'all know the deal. Visit us on agesofrock.com. Check out our social media and our past episodes. And until next time, peace out, folks. Thanks for listening to the Ages of Rock podcast. If you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Facebook, and most importantly, tell all your friends. Remember, you're never too old to rock. Until the next episode, peace out, folks.